Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comfort, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you. I will pray to you.
I will pray to you
in my secret place.
In my secret place.
Yeah. For you are my everything.
For you are my everything.
Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to get to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer for worship. A praise of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you. For you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. Surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to, Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Even when I don't know where my next meal is coming from, somehow, somewhere you make a way. You're my life. You're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me. And I gotta testify that you are. Pride of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. Just like you come to see.
Yes. You are my everything, life, strength, joy, peace, hope for tomorrow. You are my everything, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Deacon Brother Oliver Welch. Good morning, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Miss Kathy. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm just wonderful. How are you?
I'm just doing just fine, just fine. Yes, I'd like to welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say good morning to my Running for Christ family and to Blog Talk Radio listeners around the world. Yes, we get ready to start the proclamation, and it stated why we are here, proclamation. And it reads as follows. We proclaim that Jesus, the King, pre-existed as God the Son and was sent by God the Father, who took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent his Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Let's go to the Scriptures today, and that's Romans chapter 3. 19-26, and it's titled Righteousness Through Faith, and it reads as follows. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Let us pray. Excuse me. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for the opportunity to offer up to you some well-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. And we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. And dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty name and mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Oliver. You know we appreciate you. Have a beautiful day.
Well, thank you so much, and you do the same. Thank you.
I will. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
where I carry him. And even when it hurted him the most, he still had faith in his God to lift his voice and declare.
Amen. How many know the Lord will provide? Amen. That is why his name is Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain of the Lord, that means when you have a need, when you're on that mountain of the Lord and you have a need, guess what? If you're standing there in faith like Abraham was, then you know that the Lord is going to provide. You don't know how. Abraham did not know how God was going to provide a substitute for his son. He didn't know if God was going to provide a substitute or if he was going to literally slay his son and God raise him up. He just knew that on the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen. And guess what? When he acted in faith and raised that knife and was on his way down, and the Lord knew that he was getting ready to comply with God's command, the Lord said, hold up, Abraham. Don't slay your son. And guess what, y'all? There was a ram over there caught in the bush making all kinds of noise, but Abraham didn't hear it. Abraham didn't see it until, amen, he acted in faith. Amen. I love the part of the song where it says, I won't stop believing. Amen. Because the devil going to constantly do stuff to get you to stop believing. And God going to allow him to come and do stuff to get you to stop believing. But God has told the devil, she won't stop believing. He won't stop believing. Do what you want. Is that you? I just finished reading a book by Charlie Avila. It's a class coming up starting tomorrow on the 16th. Amen. Well, it's starting on the 16th. So you want to get in on that class. Why? Because it's a preparation class for the times that we are living in. It's a preparation class for us to protect ourselves from the devil's deceptions and his false prophets. And there are so many of them out here. It's a class that charges us to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a class that's going to teach you that you have things you need to live a godly life. Amen. Don't you love Jehovah Jireh?
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud.
Sing it loud.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Sing it, Naomi.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean, so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now.
Henry,
we call you
Amen. Embrace the refrain, the refrain. Every need you supply. Every time you get a need, say, Lord, every need you supply. Embrace the refrain. When the devil started talking about you got a need and I don't know if God's going to supply, tell him, yeah, I know what the Lord's going to do. You probably don't know, but I know what every need the Lord will supply. It's already supplied. God rested after the 7 days of creation. He haven't got, I didn't read in the Bible where he had to get back up and put something else in the earth that we would need. What we have to learn how to do is access what God has already given us through faith. He challenges us to use our faith to get the things that God has promised us, and that challenges us to read the Bible. Why? Because in it there are 8,800 promises that God made, and 7,487 of them are to humankind. And so he challenges us to read his word so that we can see in every need, in every circumstance, he is Jireh. He's our provider. You know, I'm doing something I haven't done in years. I've actually written down the songs the Lord wants me to play. He actually gave them to me before the service started. He want to reach somebody at the beginning of this year so you don't go through a whole nother year of depression, stress, anxiety, just toe up from the flow up. He wants you to know that his name is Jehovah Jireh because he's a provider on the mountain of the Lord when you have a need. Jesus, am I preaching now? Amen. You know what? Hold me, Lord, hold me. I will never forget the day the Lord found me. I had no idea that God knew me. I knew I didn't know him. But the day he found me, he already knew me. And I thought I was on this planet and nobody knew me. My family and friends didn't know me. But he knew me. And he didn't just know me. He knew my name.
He said, you know my name. As soon as he did that, I was like, I love it. I love it. You know my name. He said it again. He said, you know my name.
I love
to just say something to him. Come on, raise up your voices and tell him how awesome he is. God, you're faithful. You're the lover of my soul, the keeper of my life. God, I adore you. God, we honor you tonight. Somebody just worship him. You're faithful, God. You're my peace. You're my joy. You're my life. You're my keeper. God, my strength. God, my father. God, you're my help. God, you're my comfort. God, you're my joy and my deliverance. Somebody just worship the Father tonight. found that no battle can defeat you. I wish you would raise up and worship to our God who has already won the victory. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you.
Amen. Amen. You know my name. Tell me I am your own. Be with you, Pastor. And you know, you always take us there. And we are so thankful and grateful for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us the time to talk to God. The only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following your selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for such an awesome time to praise you and to worship you, to live for you, and to live with you, Lord, because you reside inside of us, your children. And despite us, you love us. You first loved us, and you continue to instruct us. You continue to encourage us and inspire us. And we say thank you. You continue to provide and to heal, Lord. You continue to guide our steps, Lord. We thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to spend eternity with you. Lord, we don't deserve what we get from you. We're simply sinners saved by grace, wretches. Your word says our best works are filthy rags before you. But because of what Jesus did, our elder brother, we are a part of that eternal family with you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that opportunity to be engrafted in the true vine because of what our elder brother did and the power he displayed over the cross and the grave. And he continues to intercede for us at the right hand of you, Father. And then we have the Comforter. We have that Counselor. We have the very presence of the one living true God inside of us, in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for being covered on all fronts and help us to never forget that. We have guardian angels. We have your very presence living inside of us. We have your word. We have faculties, Lord. We have technology. We have things that we can use and are engaged with to spread your word, to live a pleasing life to you. But Lord, help us to realize that a lot of people are not saved. A lot of people have not professed to know Jesus or have an intimate relationship with you, Lord. And help us to realize that we have work to do. Eternity is a long time for anyone to spend in hell. And help us to sense the urgency of leading folks to you, to make sure that folks get saved. And not only, Lord, for strangers, Lord, but for people in our own families, people that we engage with on a regular basis, our children. So many of our children, Lord, don't know you, and they need to know you. And help us to be true in that, where we're true soldiers of the cross, where we make it our daily mission to tell someone about Jesus. Lord, we love you today. We know we don't show it in action all the time. But that grace and that mercy, Lord, and your first love of us, and your protection and your guidance and your care keeps us. Help us, Lord, to be your children and to display our light in the world that shines, that you shine through us. We say thank you, Lord. Bless the pastor, Lord, to bless him with a word for this audience today. And Lord, like he said, for folks to understand that we have our healing and our provision all wrapped up in you, we only need to exercise our faith in you, the beginning of this brand new year and this brand new day. We say thank you, Lord. Continue to heal and provide and do what you do, but help us to do our parts in showing our love and action to you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
You are.
Thank you, Lord. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Assistant Pastor Johnson Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Thank you. Excellent service this morning. And so far, we are having a great time. With more to come, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part in that good old icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own unique way with introductions after this selection. Amen.
Holy Ghost, I'm so grateful, God, to know you did the most when you created her for me. Lord, you know I have witnessed your glory, all this favor you showed me. When you gave it to me, I had to learn what to do with your blessing. Now I know that a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ loved the church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. I know that you don't make mistakes, so if it's in the book, then it must be okay to love her. No, I'm not ashamed, I won't shy away, I know I was made to love her. God give me grace, and I hope that every night feels like a wedding night. I pray, oh yeah. Yes, a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. Every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ loved the church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your cover. Greatest creation. So I hope that you don't.
Christ, a lot of church, cause you told me to.
Wow. Well, Pastor O said that he got all that song, that playlist from the Lord. And given what he's going to talk about this morning, I certainly can understand that. So the psalmist says, I'm thanking you. Some of the other key phrases that I picked up on this morning from the playlist is God will provide. Don't stop believing. You know my name. I'm already chosen. I'm already loved. That's enough. Every need you will supply. And he is certainly more than enough. Whether we're basking in gratitude for what he has done or giving him the glory and praise he deserves, the key to all of this is being connected to him. Good morning. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ Ministries family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome, everyone, as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. No, we are not in a physical building, but make no mistake about it, we are having church right now. Pastor is going to continue in his sermon series, God's Plan for Life and Family, and this is part three, and you probably guessed it. This morning, he's going to talk about married Christians. He's asked me to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. After reading over these scriptures, I thought to myself, nothing new to see here. In other words, I get it. Love and respect is what makes for a great marriage. But as things are with the word of God, we cannot only see it from our carnal minds and our fleshly bodies. That's why God sends people like Pastor O, also known as Word Detective GMO. Last week, he had already pointed out that if we want God to respect our marriages, then we have to do it God's way. He reminded us that no one was born married. Pastor O also said, to the extent that we have our own ideas about marriage rather than God's, we will have a mess. I am sure you are like me and do not want to live a mess. Am I right? Okay then. Let us nuzzle up to the table of wisdom to hear and learn from a section of the Bible entitled Spirit-Guided Relationships. So far, we have been guided on our mat with two important markers. The first was a question, is Jesus Lord of your life? And the second one we got last week, which was, get yourself under God. And now let us continue on our quest to learn about God's plan for family. This morning, live from eCourse, Michigan, the man of God will show us the way. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you. The door of the church is open, and we're going to take up a collection for the preacher of the hour, Dr. June Rogers. And amen. We can't pay God for the word that we just received, but any offering will be appreciated. Thank you, June.
Came from the Lord.
Tell Ray I say hey.
All righty, Pastor.
Amen, amen. I thank God, and I, you know, the Lord, like, you know, you are the preacher, right? I'm like, yeah, but Jesus, be quiet. June finna say something. He's like, you know I'm saying that through her, right? I'm like, oh, okay. I thought that voice sounded familiar. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you and for all that has gone before this hour. We have had a chance to, I want to be back in church because if you're a member of Running for Christ, you've been to Running for Christ, you know I'm an antic type preacher. You know, I tend to demonstrate things with my body, but here on Blog Talk Radio, you can't do that. And so I'd be in here animating to Jesus. Amen. But anyway, I thank God for this because it gives us a chance to worship like the Lord talked about over in John chapter 4 when he said the people that God truly want to worship him, the worshipers that he is truly seeking, are those who worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, there's a lot of worship that goes on in our house. My wife worships. She wake up every morning giving thanks to God, praising God. So do I. And then I go into my little man cave that look like a real cave down in the basement. Amen. And I worship the Lord. And the Lord always tells me through his word that this worship that I see in secret, I'm going to reward you for it in open. Amen. So you can kind of tell people who are worshiping God in secret because you can see God displaying his blessings on them in the open. Amen. And you can see those who don't worship the Lord a whole lot in spirit because you don't see it. The Lord said, what you're doing in secret, I'm going to make it known to everybody. Amen. And so, amen. I just thank God for this opportunity to worship like this here on Blog Talk Radio, because if you can't worship God outside the company of other people, then you need a closer relationship with him. You don't have a personal relationship with Christ. You got a corporate relationship with Christ. That means it's based off other people being around you. Now, the Lord loves it, and he gave us the local church so that we could come and commiserate with one another. But we are still together here in this venue. Even though we can't see each other, we are all here. And since the Lord sits high above the earth, he can see us all right now as if we're in one church, one little local organized congregation of baptized believers. And he's ready to bless us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this word. We thank you, Father, that we didn't have to come into this world and try to figure out which way to go. But you gave us instructions. You gave us a roadmap from earth to heaven. And his name is Jesus. And he is, the whole Bible is Jesus. It's how we messed up. It's how you sent Jesus to fix everything. Jesus went and now he's coming back to get us and take us to be with him where he is. So it's all about him, and he's all about us. So we thank you, Father, for this word that you've given us concerning married Christians. And we pray, Father, that we take it to heart and we get into your plan for marriage and stop this nonsense where Christians are divorcing more than unsaved people. That don't make no sense, Father. That means one thing. We haven't even read your plan for marriage. And we got our plan for marriage, and we're asking you to bless this mess. But you don't bless mess. What you'll do is what Pastor Barlow told me, is bless you up out that mess. So help us, Father, get up out the mess of a marriage that we might have today so we can have a marriage that brings glory to your name, a marriage that other people see it and want it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. You know, when you're walking right with the Holy Spirit, other people want to be like you. If your name Mike, they want to be like Mike. But if you're not walking like the Holy Spirit, but you're talking like the Holy Spirit, but not walking like the Holy Spirit, well, they get confused. Amen. Praise God. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I am here today to have my mind transformed so that I am no longer conformed to this world, but transformed, changing the way I think so that I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I love it every year we get to do this at the end of the year at Run for Christ. We close out talking about faith, finance, and you. And the reason we do that is so that you, because that's the, at that time of the year we're summing up. How did we do this year? So we take a look at faith, finances, and you, and it's real simple. 10, 10, 30, 50. 10% for the Lord, 10% for your savings, 30% for your spending, and 50% to pay your bills. And that's the goal, to get your money so it works like that. Okay? So that's the way we end the year, and that gives us hope going into the new year. No matter what financial failures we had in 22, we come into 23 with expectation of increase. Because the Lord said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he will increase. He will enrich. Okay, pay attention to those words, because when the Lord say he will do that, he said something before that. Okay? Amen. So that's the way we start a new year off in hope. And then we talk about God's plan for life, and we talked about that in the first installment of this series. God's plan is to get us from earth to heaven, and we literally took a walk through the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. We took a walk through the Bible to see God bring his plan to fruition. But then we were told that he was going to do it through the man and the woman and children. They were to be fruitful. They were to multiply. They were to increase in number, and they were to subdue, okay? Amen. And God gave us the privilege, the right, the power, the authority under him to rule over what he made. And when we lost it, he gave us back to us over there. If you read Genesis chapter 9, he reiterated his promises to us and his commands to us to rule, to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase in number, and to subdue areas that's unsubdued by the Lord. And what that means, if your children get saved and go move across the street to another house, guess what? That house just became a house of the Lord. And in that way, God can subdue a whole city. If we would get busy doing what Pastor Jonathan Tate preached about, well, talked about in his prayer, about us going out and telling people about Jesus, making it, being intentional about that, then we can subdue that area that's unsubdued by the Lord, that's unowned by the Lord, because unsaved folk live there. So I would go, and guess what? Today they're estimating that there's 8 billion people on the planet. That means about 2.7 billion are saved. That means we got a whole lot of folks to tell Jesus about. Some folks sitting around in the church ain't heard about Jesus yet. Yeah, I thought I'd let that sit out there for a minute. Amen. You look, you know the worst, my pastor, I don't know which one of my pastors said it. I think it was my pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., my current pastor, right? He said the worst way to go to hell is through the church. Lord have mercy. Don't say it can't happen. Judas went to hell walking with the owner of the church. He listened to all the sermons, went to all the Bible classes. Well, he stole some of the offerings, but amen. Probably didn't give none, but he stole some. Oh, don't be talking about Judas, because you're stealing them too. If you ain't giving your tithes and offerings, you're stealing from the Lord just like Judas was. You taking right out the bag that belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The silver and gold and the cattle on the thousand hills is his. It's all mine, says the Lord. So when God gives you something and asks for 10% and some offerings, and you don't give him nothing but what you want to give him, you're a crook. Wait a minute, Jesus, ain't we talking about God's plan? You're a crook. Amen. The Lord, now look, when the Lord touched you up, like you probably just got touched up if you've been sticking him up, amen, all he's trying to do is straighten you out so he can bless you. Yeah, all things work together for the good of those who love God, called according to his purpose, and if you've accepted Christ, that's you. Amen. So we're looking at God's plan, overall plans to get us from earth to heaven. And then last week we looked at single people. And, you know, single people are the most important people in the church, not the married people, but the single people. Married people are important, too, and we're going to talk about that. But if you don't get single people together, if you don't get them as near complete as possible before they get married, you're going to have a disaster. That's how we end up with these numbers where out of 100% of marriages, 50% crash and burn. And 27% of those, last count, was Christians. We outpacing the world in divorce. You know why? Single people. If you don't get these single people where they can be happy with themselves, content, godliness, amen, with contentment is great gain. So if you're a single person, be godly. Become content. Paul said yesterday, I had to write this to a girl on Facebook who was wondering about it. I wrote her, I don't ever give them nothing but the Lord's word. Not my word, but the Lord's word. And Paul talked about, I have learned over in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned to be content, whether I got a lot, whether I got a little, whether I'm full, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm sleeping in the bed or sleeping in a dank, rotten Philippian jail. I've learned to be content. Why? Because I know God. Simply put, I know Jesus. And so I am content, and I'm going to remain godly. Amen. So single Christians, as we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, are to focus on Jesus. Why? Because you don't have no husband. You don't have no wife. Okay? You know what gets me? It's single Christians who are boyfriends and girlfriends who act like they're a husband and a wife. I see people on Facebook all the time talking about, he cheated on me. I'm like, your husband cheated on you? Oh, no, he my boyfriend. Well, he ain't cheat on you because he ain't your husband. You just found out that he should never be your husband. Amen. You know, he don't take me nowhere. He don't buy me nothing. He don't pay none of my bills. I asked him about my car note. He wouldn't even pay it. I'm like, your husband wouldn't do none of that for you? She said, no, that's my boyfriend. I said, he ain't obligated to do nothing of that for you. The quickest way, ladies, this is a sidebar. The quickest way for you to get rid of a man who ain't your husband is to start treating him like he your husband. Like somehow because he dating you, he got to pay your light bill. He got to pay you. He got to be concerned about your car note. If he wants to, cool, but he don't have to. He ain't obligated by God to do nothing for you. That ain't your husband. The command don't start until he put a ring on it. Even Beyonce know that. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. Amen. Even she know that. She married to Jay-Z, who thought he was God. But anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe one day she'll lead him to Jesus. Maybe one day she'll come back to Jesus. But anyway, amen, church song. Really? Anyway, single people, if you get them together, then you get married people together. You know, before I got married, I had three kids. Before I turned 18, I had three kids. Somebody told me I ain't know what it's like to have kids before you get married. I'm like, really? Seriously? You really don't know me then. They used to call me Sweet G's. Amen. Back in the day, they used to call me Sweet G's, the baby maker. Because I was making babies and then acting like they wasn't mine. I was a deadbeat dad on purpose. See, people get twisted. When I was talking about single people last week, they're like, why are you talking about me like that? I'm like, I don't even know you. But I do know me. And I know what my single life was before I met the Lord. My first marriage was so I could have sex without feeling guilty. I found out that's not a good reason to get married. I wasn't together as a single person. My first wife wasn't together as a single woman. We were both under certain kinds of pressures, and so we got married. But it didn't work. Pressure won't keep you together, or trying to escape from a past won't keep you together. Trying to escape from an overbearing parent won't keep you together. Only understanding God's purpose for marriage will keep you together. Amen? Only that. Amen. So single folks, take this time. Now, single folks who want to stay single, just go ahead on and live your godly life. Learn to be content and have great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay, get that. Some of us think contentment comes from things. No, it don't. It's only content as long as that thing works. But what happened when it don't work no more? Or what happened when it don't do for you what it used to do? I tried to become content with drag racing until I got tired of drag racing. I would go to the track, spend $100 to get there, get to the track, wait an hour to make my first time run, make my time run, it's over in 12 seconds, and then wait another hour or more to do it again. After a while, it wasn't so satisfying. Amen? So single people, listen, you are the most important person in the church. Create marriages. If you get single people together, amen, if you get them as close to complete as you can, trusting, leaning, and relying only on the Lord and walking with him like Adam did in the garden. Adam was under God. Adam had a job. Adam had a place to live, operating under God's authority, obeying God's rule for life. Don't eat from that tree. He was complete, or as complete as you can get. I ain't saying he was perfect, but I'm saying he was comfortable being under God. He was comfortable living where God gave him to live. He was comfortable keeping and dressing the garden. And he was comfortable for a while with the rule God gave him. That's complete. Eve, same way. Adam was not running around the garden talking about, you know, Jesus, I need a wife. I need Jesus like Adam. You need to get yourself together. I need a wife. Eve wasn't born or created by God, raised up and walking with God, saying, you know, Father, God, whoever you is, I need a husband. I got to have a husband. My life ain't right. It's supposed to have a husband in it. No, they were comfortable being with God. So single people, before you get married, now this ain't going to work all the time, but before you get married, single people, be comfortable with the Lord yourself. Amen. And if you've had kids before you got married, come on, Christian. Unsaved people can't do this, but you can. Christian, go to 1 John 1:9. Actually, read John 1:8-10. Okay? And do what you got to do. And then turn over to 1 John chapter 2 and read what happens if we mess up. Excuse me for 1 second. Okay, I want to take you over to 1 John so we can read that. I ain't going to just tell you to read it because I ain't got a whole lot to say about married people. That's real simple. Okay, come over here to 1 John chapter 1. Now listen to 8, 9, and 10. If we claim we have no sin, we done had 15 kids before we got married. I had 3. Y'all know it. Before I turned 18, I had 3. Before I got saved, I was having kids. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, who is the him? Jesus. He is what? What is Jesus? He's faithful. Guess what else Jesus is? He's just. And guess what Jesus will do? He will forgive us our sins. And guess what else he's going to do? He's going to cleanse us from all wickedness. But then again, he says, if we claim we have not sinned, ain't nothing wrong with me having kids and a man living in my house and we sleep in the same bed. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with me being gay and practicing the gay lifestyle with a man or a woman. Okay, if we claim we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar because God said no to all that. In Leviticus 18 and 22, he said, a man shall not lie with a man as with a woman in my sight. That's detestable. It's disgusting. The Lord said over in Romans chapter 1 that men with men and women with women, okay, it's disgusting. He said it in the Old and New Testament. But today we're saying people get to love who they want to love. I saw a preacher of a prominent church in Atlanta say that people can love who they want. No, they can't. That is called a false prophet. That is somebody telling you a lie. Jesus will never tell you you can practice sin. Jesus will tell you if you sin, I'll forgive you when you confess it. But he ain't never going to tell you you can go ahead on and practice sin. I'm not saying God hate gay people. I ain't saying God hate people who have babies and families before they even get married. No, he don't. Okay? But what God expects is for us to agree with him that what we did was wrong. And what we're doing is wrong. And when we do that, he forgives us. And guess what? He works with us to straighten that thing out. If he can straighten me out, he can straighten anybody out. You can't be messed up, more messed up than if you are, Lord. Woo, Jesus, how messed up are you? But you cannot be more messed up than I was. Amen? But when Jesus started talking to me about sex in the 70s, back in 77, I'll never forget. That's the reason I got my first marriage. I told you about that. I started to have to do things his way. He killed Sweet G. Sweet G's dead. And he started raising up Reverend Overall, who turned into Pastor. Amen. And it was a long walk with the Lord trying to figure all that stuff out. My single life ain't get right till I met my second wife, because I tore up my first marriage because it wasn't according to God's plan. So single people, get yourself together before you thinking about becoming married people. Okay, and if you've already messed it all up, all kinds of ways, well, watch this. Listen. This is 1 John chapter 2. It gets gooder, right? My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. I'm saying all this to you so you might stop doing that stuff you're doing that God calls sin. But if anyone does sin, because Jesus know we ain't, you know, we ain't perfect yet. He even Jesus said, I'm working on you. That means we ain't completed yet. We're complete in Christ, seated in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 2, right? But we ain't there yet. And we still down here with the sin nature, with the flesh, warring against the soul and against the spirit. And our soul in the middle of those two nut jobs trying to figure out which way to go. The spirit is good to go with God, whatever God say, but our flesh didn't come along for the salvation ride. And so it's still doing its own thing. So if anyone does sin, guess what? Oh, you talking about having Matlock. You talking about having Ironside. You talking about every lawyer you know that's the best lawyer, Jeffrey Feiger, and amen, all of them. Call Bernstein so you can get the advantage, right? We have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. Oh, and guess what? He win all his cases. Why? Because he is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. And guess what the Lord did? He imputed Jesus Christ's righteousness to us. Lord, have mercy. So when we go to court, I've got the Father say, Jesus, who is that standing with you? It looked like a little you. Yeah, well, I've imputed my righteousness. Case closed, not guilty, and we out of the courtroom. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So anybody in this world that God so loves, who accept Jesus Christ as God's only begotten Son, guess what? That word perish, you ought to read that word. That means utterly destroyed, taken out, devoured, nothing left. They won't perish, but they'll have eternal life. So single people, amen, let Jesus use you, because you're going to become married people one day. Amen. And when you become married people one day, Jesus needs you to be like these people we're getting ready to talk about. Amen. Single people feel better? All right, then. Amen. Now let's get into this, and this ain't going to take long because the Lord is real plain over here. He says, and listen, this is so important because this is the way Adam and Eve were when they got together. Now, when they got together, they started mixing it up and acting all kinds of crazy, and Eve took over the house talking to the devil. Adam's sitting there while she's talking to the devil, ain't said nothing. She reached from the tree after listening to that clown, and then she give it to him, and he don't say, the Lord said we can't eat from that tree. He said, that look good. I want to eat some too. Plus, you done ate some, and I ain't being stuck with all these animals. They ain't my kind. So here we are. Amen. Look at verse 21 in Ephesians chapter 5, most important verse in this whole little passage right here. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husband that can't submit to his wife, wife who can't submit to her husband in the positions that God called them to, are not submitted to Jesus Christ. Can I say that this morning? Oh, too late. I probably should have said that before I said that. Too late. It's out there. You're not submitted to Jesus. Look, I'm Pastor Owen. You know I ain't playing with you. No, I ain't playing with you. I ain't trying to get a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce or a big old mansion somewhere so I can say, God bless me. No, I'm trying to, you know what I'm trying to do? Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus said, use worldly wealth, whatever God has given you. And what God has given me is the knowledge of his word. And I'm giving it to you. And I'm using it up, okay? So that when I die and I stand before Jesus, as 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want no shorts. Amen. I want to hear what those men over in Matthew 25 heard. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful Pastor O. You've been faithful over that little church I gave you. Now, come on up and enter into my joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. That's what I'm laboring for. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do you reverence Christ? Then in your position in the marriage, you're the wife, you're the husband, submit to Jesus. When you don't like them no more, when you mad at them, when you angry with them, when you ain't talking to them, when you ain't feeling them, are you feeling Jesus? Well, then feel them. Amen. Jesus, we all love to say, Jesus loved me when I was unlovable. Well, Jesus expect you to love them when they're unlovable. Look, you're getting married because God's plan, remember first in 1:26, he says, let us make them in our image and likeness and let them rule. So God gave us the power to rule under him, under his authority, in the place that he placed us. Amen. Doing the thing he gave us to do, living in that place, right? Amen. So God gave us, he says, let them rule. Let them be fruitful. Let them multiply. Let them increase in number. Let them subdue the earth. That is God's plan for marriage. See, Adam couldn't have babies by himself. That's why I know God does not support men and men or women and women. They cannot carry out God's plan. A woman and a woman cannot increase in number. They can't have babies like that. God didn't set it up where a woman could sleep with a woman and she get pregnant. You have to enter into some other type of sin to make that happen. We call them surrogate wives. And we get that idea from what Abraham did with Hagar. But that wasn't God's plan. That was their plan because they couldn't hold out and hold on to God's plan. And a lot of us do that. But because we're not reverencing Christ, we're not submitting to one another. That's why marriages tear up. The woman is not trying to be the woman that Christ called her to be, and the man is not trying to be the man God called him to be. Amen? So number one, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ in the position that Christ has called you to live in a married state. If you're not willing to do that, so ladies, if you meet a man that don't even go to church, he ain't submitted to Christ? He can't teach you the word of God? He's not leading you at all? You're leading him? Oh, your marriage tore up already. Amen. It's tore wide because he is not in the position that God, if he doesn't go to church, how is he reverencing God? If he never reads the Bible but just talk that crap out of his head, how is he pleasing God? How is he submitted to the Lord Jesus? My pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., says, you only know the Lord as well as you know his word. So how well does your husband know the word? How well does that woman you looking at, man, how well does she know the word? That's how well she knows Jesus. So what are you about to get into? What you're going to do is you're going to go dancing down that aisle, and Satan know ain't either one of y'all submitted to Christ. He going to go to God to get permission slips like he did on Job to come down here and test this vow you've made to the Lord. You remember when the children of Israel wouldn't do what God said over in the book of Judges? They wouldn't go in and possess the land like God told them to. They left people in the land that God told them to root out. And when they wouldn't do it, you know what the Lord said? Because you would not run these people out, I'm going to make sure that they stay here to test you, to see if you will obey me or not. And so when you go into marriage and you ain't submitted to Christ, he ain't submitted to Christ, well, guess what? Amen. Oh, a test is coming. Satan gonna get permission slips. And let me tell you something. He know how to tear up a marriage. I've seen them tore up in a week. I saw a marriage get tore up before they even got married. Satan came in and tore that thing up. They got tore up in counseling. They didn't even make it to the altar. I know some folks who didn't even make it to the honeymoon. Satan ain't playing. As soon as he can get a permission slip from Jesus to come and test and try your statements, oh, I'm going to love her till you come back, Jesus. And I'm going to love him till you come back, Jesus. And then here comes Satan to test that. And so he make things happen that make you have to love them. Amen. And you fail the test because you can't love somebody who talk like that, somebody who act like that, somebody who walk like that. That's why we're supposed to submit to Christ. So when they don't act right, talk right, walk right, amen, we can pray to Christ. Amen. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to your husbands in everything that they say and do that Jesus told them to say and do. You don't have to submit to nonsense. I'll tell you that right now. If you're submitting to a husband who is telling you to do things that Christ hasn't said in his word for you to do, then you are into idolatry. You're worshiping your husband more than you worship Jesus. He can tell you to do wrong and you'll do it. Jesus tell you to do right and you won't. So wife, again, this means you need to find a man who is like Christ. Why? Because Jesus wants you to submit to him like you do to him. Can you submit yourself to an unsaved man? Let's fix that unsaved garbage now. Come on, go with me. Open up your biblical and run over to 2. We read this before. We're going to read it again because we don't get it. We keep bringing these old jackleg men to Jesus, jackleg women to Jesus, talking about, I love them. They complete me. Well, they ain't saved. Listen to what Jesus said about that. I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm at chapter 6, and I'm at verse 14. Don't. Now, we all know what that word means, don't we? See, when I read scriptures, I study each word in the passage. That's just the way I do. When I write my books, I count every word in the book. I can tell you exactly how many words is in each book I wrote. And in the one I'm currently writing, I know exactly how many words are in it because I pay attention to each word. It's still messed up. But anyway, team up with don't. Anybody know what don't mean? Do you know somebody who act like they don't know what don't mean? Well, here, tell them what don't mean. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. I don't even need to read no more. So that guy you got, that girl you got, and they ain't a believer in Christ, well, do you love God enough to get rid of them? How can righteousness, I love how Jesus, he's so redundant. He say things over and over and over. You know why? Because we ain't all that bright, y'all. We had one rule in the garden. How did that work? So he say stuff to us over and over and over and over. Why? Because he can tell us don't eat from that tree 15 times. And then come and say, didn't I tell you not to eat from that tree? Have your parents ever come to you and said, didn't I tell you? Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union, you know, this is almost like God is like, how dumb are you? And what union can there be between God's temple, which is your body, and idols, which is their body that belong to the devil? That's like the church and the temple of Satan right next to each other. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. That means he lives in us and he's alongside us in the person of the Holy Spirit. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things. And guess what God says? And I'll welcome you. Wow, you want to be welcomed by God? Show God that you love him more than that unbeliever you trying to date. Oh, wow, that was deep, wasn't it? Man, that hurt a little bit, didn't it? Praise the Lord. Okay? And I'll welcome you, and I will be your father, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Lord, have mercy. Jesus said something to us, y'all. So, that wife, the Lord says, if you're going to submit to somebody, they need to be like me. They need to be walking with me. They need to be living under my word, under my authority, under my kingdom rule. If not, amen. My brother, Rayfield Rogers, will tell you all fish ain't good fish. Some of them you catch them, they give you a nice little fight because most fishermen love to fight, right? And then they get that fish up there, and it's a big old giant carp. Amen. And then you don't even know how to remove no mud lines. So my boy Ray Rogers, he gonna tell you that's a big fish you got there. That's a big fish, but it ain't a good one. You might want to throw that piece of trash back. Amen. Back in there. So ladies, find you a man like Jesus and submit to him. How you gonna submit to a man that don't even go to church? Do you know what you got running you? You're submitted all right because God said he made the man first, and so the man is to rule over the woman. So whether you got a man ruling over you who don't even follow Jesus, so that means you got the devil ruling over you. I told y'all about a lady who bought our service, Weed Control and Fertilizer. We did that for a number of years, amen, and she couldn't even water the grass. Why? Because her husband wouldn't let her, and she was a Christian. But apparently she had a tyrant for a husband. Amen. So a whole lot of women become unhappy with their husbands, and you know why? And you should be. Why? Because they ain't under Christ. A man who is in Christ is going to love his wife like Christ loved the church. And guess what? Let me get to this second part. For husbands, the wife is simply to submit to a man like Christ, who's following Christ, who's under Christ, who's under his kingdom rule. Amen? Following his word. The husband take his wife to Bible class. The husband take his wife to church. The husband gets together the tithes and offerings and bring them to the church along with his wife and children, if there are any. We'll get to the children in the next installment, but right here we're talking about that husband and that wife. If he ain't leading her, then she leading herself, and you got your Garden of Eden getting ready to happen. Why? Because if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God is not concerned about a man being over the woman or a woman being under the man as much as he is concerned about them being properly aligned with his plan for the man, the woman, in a marriage. If you want your marriage to survive the devil's test and the devil's trying, stand on the rock. Luke 6:46 tells us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do nothing I say, husband, wife? I'll tell you a husband and wife who can call me Lord. They're the ones who dig down deep. They find a rock. The rock is the word of God concerning marriage between a man and a woman, and they build their marriage on that rock. And when the devil comes, thank you, when the devil comes to try to tear it up, guess what? He can't. Why? Because it's founded upon the rock. But we have so many marriages today that's founded upon garbage. And when the devil come, he used to garbage. Okay, when he met Jesus out there in the garden, as you listen to Pastor Janice Tate tell that story in the church school on Saturday, when the devil ran into Jesus in that garden, he ain't had nothing for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus stood on the rock. But far too many of us don't even know the rock. And here we are dancing our way down the aisle on our way to divorce court. For husbands, this means three things. I'm going to read this and talk about it. For husbands, this means three things. This means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now, how unsaved man going to know how Jesus loved the church? He gave up his life for her. Won't even give up his friends. To make her holy and clean, washed with the cleansing of the word. He can't do that because he don't know the word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, There's that again. Remember we was talking about tithes and offerings? In the same way, them four words pop right back up. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love. So a husband need to read the Bible to see how Jesus loved a church and how he went down through 42 generations and stopped in a little town called Bethlehem. And you know the rest of the story. You done heard the hoop. Gave up that life. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. So a man who don't love his wife is nuts because he don't love himself. No one hates his own body except a fool, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother. We won't leave nobody. We try to get married and bring our whole family into it, and all they do is tear it up. But Jesus say, leave and cleave to your wife. Leave your family, leave your father and your mother, your brothers and your sisters, your family and friends, and cleave to your wife. What is wrong with you? You ain't got to satisfy your daddy. You ain't got to satisfy your mama. You got to satisfy Jesus that you are loving your wife like Christ loved the church. What's wrong with you? The reason a whole lot of marriages are tore up today is because all of them outside mouths that's running in them ears and you're listening, cut them off. Cut them off and listen to Jesus and you stay married. And the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. Ladies, if you run into a man that don't love himself, he don't work. He don't love himself. He don't have food in his house. He don't love himself. He ain't got a job. He don't love himself. Hey, man, he must love himself. And the wife must respect her husband. I know you like, shouldn't that say she must love? No. See, and Jesus, I'm coming to a close, but don't worry about it. We're going to pick this up next week, and y'all know I like to review. Amen. Look. Amen. In Jesus' day, if you read my first book, you learned how Jewish marriage happens. In Jesus' day and in Jesus' time, in some cultures today, to this very day, the husband and the wife, the son or the daughter, didn't meet, fall in love, and then announce to everybody, we're getting married. No, they could have been betrothed to each other in the womb, okay? The decision was made between the fathers. The fathers would come together for two reasons. One father would want to know, what is the dowry that I'm going to get? And the other father would want to know, well, what, how much is the bride price that I'm going to have to pay? Okay? So each one, once they come to an agreement, then a scribe is there. That scribe is there to enact or put into place what's called a ketubah pledge. It is a pledge to be married. And all what the fathers worked out about the dowry and the bride price, okay, once that's a done deal, then two witnesses that are there, as we have witnesses, two witnesses to every marriage today, the witnesses are there, and they sign the ketubah pledge. And then that wife walks around her husband seven times, boom, they married. Now, the reason it says that the wife must respect her husband and not love her husband is because she probably didn't know her husband before they met. If they didn't live in the same village, they probably never even saw each other before they were betrothed and married. And so the husband had to convince his wife. He had to love his wife. He had to love her like Jesus loved the church. He had to use God's word to straighten out her inadequacies. He had to see to her her emotional, her physical, and spiritual needs. And if he did that right, oh, that wife loved her husband. Why? You ain't gonna tell me a woman ain't gonna love her husband if he loving her like Christ loved the church. Are you telling me there's a better love in this world than the love Jesus displayed when he gave up his life for the church? He gave his life up. He became her savior, her sanctifier, her satisfier. Her savior meaning he gave up his life. family and friends and everybody else. She became number one, his number one priority. He gave it up like Jesus gave up his life. Not my will, but thine be done. He died for the good of all of us. Not for him, but for us. So the husband does the same thing. The husband takes the word of God. When his wife has a problem, can't figure things out, tripping on something, he takes the word of God and applies it to that problem. She hugs him and say, thank you. I needed to hear that. And then the husband, when his wife is crying, when his wife is sitting there quiet and tripping or whatever, he nourishes and cheers her, make sure she get her hair done, make sure she get them clothes together, make sure that her emotional needs are met, gives her a hug, kiss her on the head, do whatever she needs to be. Amen. Who wouldn't love a man like that? So, husband, if you want your wife to love you, give her a reason to love you. When I met Jesus, I ain't love him like I do now. When I met Jesus, I was just glad to be saved. Now I'm glad about a whole lot more things. I ain't through, but my time is up for today. Amen. And next week, we're going to finish this off, and then we're going to bring the kids in. Oh, Jesus, if you got some kids, Lord have mercy. God bless you. Crystal going to be with you right after this song.
She made me want to get down on the knees. Yeah, she made me wanna share everything I own. I was praying for a sin, but I found the one. And no girl comes past my virtue with love. Cause what we got is truly something special. Truly something special.
Listen, what's up, my lady love? My mama Cesar. I know you know me, but let's get to know each other deeper. Cupid, you can keep them. I don't believe them. This kind of love we got is real. This ain't no Mona Lisa. No painted picture. No fairy tale. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah, we know it well. And I never kiss and tell. Put our business in the streets. It ain't nobody's business what we do with Queen and Sheik. And I respect you too much, don't see you as my equal. I see you as myself, me and you, we the same people. The way you let me lead you, that's why I need you. And when I'm on the road, I miss you, wanna see you, you not perfect, but you work it, girl. And you don't need a job unless you feel like working, girl. Ain't worried about your past, I'm focused on our future, lady. From what I see, it's looking good, I see you, baby.
I was praying for a 10, but I found the one. No girl comes past my virtue with love. Cause what we got is truly something special. Truly something special. Truly something special. Truly something special. Yeah.
Don't need a prenup, it's you I love and not the money. Know all my passwords, but you don't need them things, you trust me. They think we crazy. Head over heels. I love your mind more than the way you dress. Head over heels. Now I don't lace you in Gucci, Louis Vuitton, or Birkin, but I give you time and attention, faithfulness, and it's working. And when you get upset and bother me, I'm here to stay. Can't wait to date you when you're 60 and your hair is gray. We ain't them, I ain't him. You ain't hurt, but we the best we will ever be, minus me first. So they bury me, you'll always be my lady. And leaving you's like leaving myself. It's crazy.
I was praying for a 10, but I found the one. And no girl comes past my virtue with love. Cause what we got is truly something special. Truly something special. Truly something special. Special, yeah. I was praying for a 10, but I found the one. And no girl compares my virtue with love. Cause what we got is truly something special. Truly something special. Truly something special. Truly something special, yeah.
Wow. For the second day in a row, I am speechless. You know, when Pastor talked about how he misses us being in the church because he is with his animatronics and his animation. You know, Pastor, we still saw you with all that today. We felt the power and the fire from the word that you brought to us about married people. Marriage is a job. It is hard work. And to do it the way that God wants you to do it is the only way to do it. But it is going to take work. When you have to consider another person all the time, not children, you know, it's a little different with kids, but when you're talking about another grown person that you have to consider how they feel, what they want, what they're thinking, how to comfort them and do all of these things for them, that's a lot. And that's why marriages fail, because people don't know how to give of themselves, because they might not even love themselves enough to understand that you and how you have to love another person. So, wow. If you're single, you probably just want to stay there, okay, because it's a lot, okay? So, Pastor, thank you for the word that you brought to us today. That's, my brain is like a ticker tape, and so I have so much to say that I don't even really know what to say. All I know is that we heard you. We get it. We understand, and we thank God for the word. You know, nobody should be taking any of this personal. Pastor doesn't know anybody personally, and even those of us who he does know personally, he ain't telling our business, okay? But at the end of the day, God knows everything. And he knows the positions that he put us in. And so we do have to learn to be content where we are. And God knows what we want. And he also knows what we need better than we could ever know. Amen. So just trust God. Amen. All right, y'all. So just by way of a couple of announcements, don't forget that on Saturday we have our church school that begins at 9 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Then we have our Saturday worship service that begins at 10 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. And then we have our Sunday worship service that is here at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk. Amen. Every Monday, beginning tomorrow, January 16th at 6 p.m., we will begin our new class on Christians and about the last days and about false prophets and how we as Christians need to be prepared. Amen. So Deaconess Dr. June Rogers is going to be the teacher and the discussion facilitator. I love that, but she's a teacher, flat out, okay? If you've never taken a class with June or never been in a class with June, you really want to participate because she is absolutely amazing. So there is a book that you're going to need. It's entitled 2 Peter. Okay, we know it's 2 Peter, but it's 2 Peter, and it's by Charlie Avila, A-V-I-L-A. It's on Amazon. I think the book is like $9. Pastor's already read through his book, making us all feel bad. I'm waiting on my book to come today. But nevertheless, it's okay. Just get the book in order to be able to participate. And again, class begins tomorrow, January 16th at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget every Tuesday, Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk at 4 p.m. with Training Day. We know he's been doing Training Day for some years now. He started on Blog Talk, and then now he started like doing like 4th and 5th Saturdays. When we had our Saturday worship service, and he moved on to his own hour. He's been there for quite some time now, and he needed it. He actually needs more of it, but every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is with Training Day here on Blog Talk. Don't forget, every Wednesday, 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class. This week, we are going into a new book, Lamentations, chapters 1 through 5. The questions are available by email if you're on pastor's email list, or if not, rfcm.org, church website. Click on the Bible classes tab. The questions are there and available for you to participate in the class. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn here on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family, so tune in for that. Also, don't forget, Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class that is taught by Pastor Janice Tate. Bondage Breaker Ministries is her ministry. So if you want to participate in the women's Bible class on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., you can go to our church website and you can get the info for Pastor Janice, and she will get you hooked up with how to be in the women's Bible class. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, church website, rfcm.org. just click on the tithes and offerings tab, and you'll be able to do whatever it is that you need to do. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and everyone else that we are able to help throughout the year through your consistent and your generous giving. Amen. Don't forget to check out the church website, again, rfcm.org. Pastor has done a job, okay, on that website. It has come a very long way. There's jobs, there's resources, there's books, there's classes, blog talk going all the way back to August of 2009 when it was just Pastor on there by himself for years before any of us came alongside him and participated in these blog talk services and classes. So you can bless yourself on purpose, bless other people on purpose. If you might not need any info right now off of it, no problem, but share it with others and let them go on there and get whatever they need and bless them on purpose. Amen. Also, don't forget, again, this is 2023. We should all be somewhat technologically savvy in the sense that we do check our emails, okay? That's how a lot of people communicate. If you work, whatever the case may be, you know, the emails are a thing. So make sure you check your emails frequently because that's where Pastor sends all of our updates about the church building and whatever's going on with us as a ministry, Run for Christ Ministries. We know that Pastor sends that out via email. Amen. We always want to say what's up to our mothers. Amen. We love them so much. Our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries. So good morning, Mother Irma. Good morning, Mother Cheryl. Good morning, Mother Marilyn. And good morning, Mother Persia. We miss you. We love you. And we know that we always have at least one of them holding it down every Sunday in the building, but we probably got them all listening on Blog Talk Radio because that's just really easy for that. Amen. So we love you. We appreciate you. We miss you. Make sure you guys to take the time to reach out to one another, check on one another, say what's up, go to lunch, go to dinner, whatever you want to do. Just make sure that we're checking on each other and keeping up with each other. And, man, if you need phone numbers, addresses, because you might want to send a card. I know Pen Pal, she's real good about sending cards to people. You'll just get a random card from her in the mail, and she's just saying, hey, I was just thinking about you. So she's really good about that. So whatever you do to say what's up and check on people, just do that, amen, because we all want to be remembered and we all want to be thought about, so we need to be remembering to think about one another, amen. If you need any info, numbers, addresses, whatever, reach out to Sheila, excuse me, and she will get that information to you. As far as prayers, we know to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Don't forget to pray for all of our Run for Christ Ministry members facing upcoming tests and surgeries and procedures. Don't forget to continue to pray for the construction or slash reconstruction of our church building, all of our communities that we live in. Make sure to continue to pray for Nico Gaston, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, again, all of our mothers on the move, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Keila Freeman, and Ed Johnson, who is home recovering. Praise God. We got two praise reports yesterday. Pastor mentioned about Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks and about Ed Johnson, so we're happy to hear about that. Amen. So just continue to pray for everyone. Of course, our leadership, presidents, vice presidents, leaders of our communities. Don't forget to pray for all of our children and our young adults. I don't know, like, is it just me or it seems like the stuff that's happening is kids are just younger and younger, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids stealing cars and killing each other. And it's crazy to me. So we really need to be praying for our youth. Amen. Don't forget also to pray for all of those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. Don't forget to pray for Lisa, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, and the loss of her uncle. And yesterday, Mother Irma Miller has lost a family member. I'm not exactly sure who. Doesn't matter if we don't know. God knows. Just please remember to keep them lifted up in your prayers. Amen. Happy birthday to everybody who celebrated this past week. Happy birthday to Mother Irma, who celebrated on the 4th. She was overall, Baby Holy Ghost, Pen Pal, whatever nickname you got for her, she celebrated also on the 4th. And happy birthday to Doris Gaither, who will be celebrating on the 30th. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today. And it's quite appropriate because when you talk about being married, you know you got to pray, okay? So your devotional for today is entitled, God Grows Your Faith Through Prayer. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. God is not only able to meet all of your needs, he's eager to meet them. But when you forget how committed God is to help you, it's easy to stop asking for his help and to start depending on yourself. Perhaps you only ask God for the big stuff and not the small stuff. Well, guess what? Everything is small to God. None of your requests are big in God's eyes. He has every hair on your head numbered, and he knows how many fell out in the sink this morning. Amen. You're not bothering God when you give him your request. He's the one who set up the system of prayer in the first place. That's why the New Testament tells you more than 20 times to ask for whatever you need in prayer. Sometimes instead of asking God for something, you just worry about it. But if it's big enough for you to worry about, it's big enough for you to pray about. Worry won't solve anything, but prayer will. God grows your faith and trust the same way as a parent teaches a child to trust. The Bible says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who ask him? Luke 11:13. Here's how it works between a parent and a child. First, the child recognizes an unmet need. Second, the child expresses that need. Third, the parent meets that need. God uses the same cycle to teach you how to trust him. You have an unmet need. You express that unmet need to God. He meets that need, and you learn to trust him more. If you're not expressing your needs to God, how can you grow in trust? When you ask God, he will always provide his goodness, but sometimes you'll have to wait patiently for God's timing to deliver. He often does not want or give immediate answers because he wants to test your faith. So go ahead. Try it today. Take your needs to God in prayer. Then watch for the ways he answers your prayer and meets those needs. You'll learn to trust that God is reliable and that you can count on him no matter what. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
You are not going to believe what the Lord gave me while you were preaching and Bible teaching and giving announcements. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know what he told me, Crystal?
I don't know.
Listen to this. He said, this is before I even heard what the devotion was going to be. He said, tell those wives whose husbands or husbands whose wives are not what they're supposed to be. And they're married. Okay, they didn't look at God's plan, but they got married. And now they're married. He said, listen to this. This is going to trip you out. Talking about the Holy Ghost and ghosting. Check this out. that's what, okay, man. Pray for him. Pray for her to be that husband, to be that wife. Amen.
Wow.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Throw my icing on the cake. You had your icing all whipped up in the bowl, didn't you?
Already.
And you like,
didn't
Jesus,
even
why
know.
You spread this icing all over? Didn't even know.
I didn't know.
Now you know why you had that icing in the bowl. And Amira's like,
that's
Mama,
right.
Why you got the icing in the bowl? I don't know, but I'm going to know in a minute.
I don't know. That's right.
Woo, praise God.
Wow.
Praise God.
Amen.
God preached the right message. Thank you, Chris.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank
but we
you.
Always on this. You know, Jesus said the only reason y'all on the same page is because you're crazy. I'm like, well, Jesus,
crazy.
She's crazier than me. I learned my crazy from her. Amen.
Back crazy.
Hallelujah.
Back crazy. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Crystal. Tell my boy Beyonce what's up.
Amen. I sure will.
All right, my man. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in. But, yeah, the Lord gave me to that before she even read. She said, hey, there might be a husband out there who's not that husband. There might be a wife out there who is not that wife. I want you to tell them, see, because I was not that husband. My wife and I got married in 86. And in 86, I went on a trip, a real bad trip, a horrible trip. And I think it was around 88 after my wife had enough of the tripping. She said, look, either you're going to get your life together or you don't even need to come in the house. So I decided right then that I'm going to get my life together. Didn't know how, didn't have a clue. Thank God for a man named Rob Worthy. Saved my life. He gave us some information that sent me to the right place to get the help that I needed, and it changed my life, and I thank God for him. But this is what I want to tell you. I wasn't the husband that I am now. I was far from the husband that I am now. And so my wife and grandmother took me down on our knees in the living room on 19th Street in the city of Ecorse, right there on the corner of Francis. And my wife thought that her grandmother was going to pray for me because she was a super-duper powerful woman of God, okay, like my mother and father. And she looked at her and said, no, that's your husband. You pray for him. And so my wife prayed Ephesians chapter 5 because that is the verses, those were the verses that were read in our, when we got married, because I was determined this time to do it the Lord's way, but somehow I went straight crazy. And she prayed for me, and she prayed that God would give her the husband that we talked about from verse 25 down to 33. And she prayed that to the Lord. And the Lord went immediately to work. He somehow connected us with Robert Worthy. Robert Worthy gave us the information we needed. He always said it was a little or nothing, but he don't know. He saved my life. And that night we went and got me, we began the process of straightening me out. Y'all know me, I learned real fast. So 2 years later, I was, I quit smoking in 1975. I learned real fast. In 09, I smoked my last cigarette. So anyway, praise the Lord, the work started that night. And the work continued for a couple of years after that. And she was, you talking about ride or die? She was my ride or die. She was there with me. She was my strength. She carried me. She carried our finances. I couldn't do nothing. I was totally discombobulated. And she took care of all of that, everything. She carried us. And that's why from 1993 to this day, okay, throughout our marriage, she has never had to ask anybody for anything for us, for her. God has blessed me to be able to give back, to be that husband, okay, who loves her like Christ loved the church, who gives up his life, who learns the word of God so he can teach her the word of God, and the one who sees to it that she, her emotional, her physical, and spiritual needs are met as best I can as an imperfect man, okay? And so I thank God for her. And so if you don't have that husband, if you don't have that wife, don't worry about it. Read Ephesians and see what that wife is supposed to be. See what that husband is supposed to be and ask Jesus for that. And Jesus has already said yes, because he said this is what's supposed to be in his word. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. I want to thank everybody who took part in the service today. Amen. From the beginning to the end, Deacon Oliver Welch, thank you. Pastor Jonathan Tate for the altar call, thank you. Thank you, Deaconess June Rogers, for always getting me ready to preach. And thank you, Crystal, for keeping us up to date on what's happening and giving us those devotions to send us off into the week in a positive way. Amen. So God bless you. And we're a little bit over time today, so I want to thank the people at Blog Talk Radio. They were faithful to us all last year. And you guys don't know that they often let us go over, way over. And they never cut us off, unless we go too far. But anyway, we thank God for them and for Brad for providing this platform for us, because if it wasn't for this, where would we be right now? Trying to figure out a way how to have church. But because of John Mack, Kathy Clyburn, Blog Talk Radio exists, and here we are. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing when God brings people to your side that can bless you like that. So pay attention to everybody that comes around to you. Either they come to bless or to hate. So figure it out and then pray accordingly. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, I pray that you give everybody listening to this, the single people, refocus them on either just being happy to be single, content, living under you, and they're good with that. And they're able to meet the challenge of celibacy. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for the married people. You know the devil, as soon as they got outside that church, he was at you for permission to go down and test the vows that they had just made. So Jesus, protect them married couples and help them to understand who they're up against, that he goes about like a roving lion looking for a marriage to destroy. He is the one who comes and steals, kills, and destroys marriages. But Jesus, let them find your word concerning marriage. Let them stand on that word. So when the devil comes with his huffing and puffing and all of that stuff that he do, it won't work. So bless the single folks. Bless the marriage folks. So that the kids that we're going to talk about next week become representations of you through them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen.
You're my woman, girl, I love you. I just want you to know, yeah. Need I remind you? They say there's no marriage in heaven, but when I get there, I'ma find you. I'll try. Hit that knee and put that ring up on your finger. I did it to my best friend. You're my best friend. And I do it all over again. Do it all over again. I do it all over again.
Matter of fact, we're gonna do it again too. What can I say? 15 years, we done come a long way. Amazed when the nights feel like summertime days. If I got a rib missing, you the one that God made. I'm sure of it, I sure love it. How you roll when they were stone clutching with no budget. And when the road toughens, you roll with the punches. Stay ready to take the world on with your husband. And though it ain't always sweet, together we will always be. And you with me through the storm and the thunder like OKC. Even when the team suffer like it's no KD.
I'm no longer interested in life without you, baby. I want you by my side. And if I left out anything about you, baby, I apologize, but you know that you're my woman. Girl, I love you. I just want you to know, yeah. Need I remind you? They say there's no marriage in heaven, but when I get there, I'ma find you. I'll try. Hit that knee and put that ring up on your finger. I did it to my best friend. You're my best friend. And I do it all over again. Do it all over again. I do it all over again.
You the best mother I know. Seeing you helps me appreciate my own. I never really knew how much it was on a woman, but I'm sure that I couldn't, so I honor you a lot more. Yeah, I honor my queen, and she'll never try to play king. She know that God's with me, she trusts me and follow my lead. And I serve and protect her like I'm the police. I had nothing, you was on the bottom like me. You helped me to follow my dreams, so from here on you can put your name on every dollar I see. We are one, ain't no lines dividing my team.
Forever grateful for the day that I found you, baby. I need you by my side. And if I left out anything about you, baby, I apologize, but you know that you're my woman. Girl, I love you. I just want you to know, yeah. Need I remind you? They say there's no marriage in heaven, but when I get there, I'ma find you. I'll try.